Do you know what the very first word of the gospel message is? Is it believe? Is it look to Jesus? Or is it repent?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
One of the things that we seek to do here on the Line of Fire broadcast is establish solid foundations. If we're going to be world changers, if we're going to swim against the tide, go against the grain, then we ourselves are going to have to be grounded and rooted in the truth in such a way that rather than being changed by the society, rather than being changed by shifting doctrines in much of the church, rather than being changed by a worldly interpretation of Scripture, we will be rooted and grounded in the truth and so able to be world changers ourselves. And I want to help lay a deep foundation, a wonderful foundation. In fact, one godly German woman wrote an entire book about this subject, the subtitle being The Joy-Filled Life. What was the main title of the book? I'll tell you in a moment. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Here's the number to call. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. What's this word that is the key to a joy-filled life, according to the godly German Christian leader now enjoying the presence of God in heaven, namely Basilia Schlink? What was the title of her book? Repentance. The joy-filled life. Joy-filled life? No, repent. It's like negative message. Repent. Repent. Turn or burn. You're going to all go to hell and burn. Repent. God's mad at you. God's angry with you. He hates you. Repent. Repent's a bad... Repentance, the joy-filled life? Maybe you should do something we didn't know. And how about this? How about James Edwin Orr, who was arguably, really hard to argue against this, the greatest revival historian among evangelicals. James Edwin Orr, also now enjoying the presence of the Lord, he said, repent is the first word of the gospel. Now, we've talked about this in weeks past, but I want to lay this out scripturally. I want to tell you why we say repentance or repent is the first word of the gospel, why we say it is a key to a joy-filled life, and why this can be a very, very good word. Now, I would rather never hear the Lord speak to me by his Spirit the rest of my life telling me I needed to repent, because I'd rather live in complete obedience to him, never get off the path, never deviate from the path, never turn from the path. I'd rather do that. However, it's a sign of his love, it's a sign of his care, it's a sign of his concern that if I do deviate, he's there to tell me repent, turn back, get back on the path of life. In fact, if you ask the question, and I hope to get into this on Thursday's broadcast, what do traditional Jews do for atonement? I mean, after all, they don't have blood sacrifices anymore, and they don't believe in the blood of Jesus. What do traditional Jews do for atonement? They would put a great emphasis on the power of repentance. In fact, there are numerous statements in the Talmud about the power of repentance. Great is the power of repentance, according to Rabbi Yonatan in the Talmud, Yoma 86b, or 86. Great is the power of repentance, for it brings closer our redemption. Judaism recognizes the power of repentance. Sadly, it does not have the blood atonement that goes with it, which, of course, we introduce and share boldly and with love. The good news of Jesus the Messiah taking our place. But his blood alone, without being joined with our repentance and faith, does not save. If you've got questions about this, you're trying to sort this out, you've heard other teaching, give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH. A whole lot to come today on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Listen to this Jewish tradition, a midrash, a homiletical comment. It happens in the world that if a man shoots an arrow, it may travel one field's length or more. But great is the power of repentance, for it reaches unto the throne of glory. As it is written, turn, O Israel, unto the Lord your God. Great is the power of repentance. Jewish tradition also says great is the power of repentance because it reverses the evil decree. If a decree has been made, the Talmud even says if there's a legal statement that's been made in Torah, for example, if a man divorces his wife and she marries another, and then that man divorces her, the first one can't take her back, and it has to do with shaming her and reproach, among other things. And yet in Jeremiah 3, God seems to indicate there that he will take straying Israel back, who's been married to others after being issued a bill of divorce by the Lord. And the Talmud says great is the power of repentance because it can even reverse that decree. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I want to celebrate this wonderful word, repentance, and talk to you as to how it is the first word of the gospel. Before I go to the phones, with our first caller being from Massachusetts, I'm reminded of the joy that I have right after my show today to get on a plane and fly to Boston, where I'll get to meet with pastors tomorrow afternoon. By the way, we've got a very, very important program. Don't miss it on the air tomorrow afternoon. Everyone that normally listens, be sure to listen. It's going to be a real eye-opener. But getting to meet with hundreds of pastors and leaders in the greater Boston area for a luncheon tomorrow with the wonderful team at WEZE, as many others will be sharing. It should be a great day. And then at night, a special radio rally just for you. That's why I'm there. This is not just a church service I'm preaching at. This is a radio rally for all of you listening in the greater Boston area. It will be in Malden at the, let me get the right location here, Malden First Church of the Nazarene. So if you've got any question on that, call the folks at WEZE or just go to Ask Dr. Brown. Right on my homepage, you can find the itinerary for Malden First Church of the Nazarene. That'll be 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Can't wait to see you there. Okay. Isaiah 40 begins with famous words in Hebrew, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Yomar Eloheichem. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So speaking ahead to the day when the captives will be released from Babylon. It's a picture of God's people who've suffered in exile now being released from captivity. Then it says, a voice cries, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And when this reaches a spiritual fulfillment with the coming of the Messiah into the world, with the announcing of the coming of the kingdom, many of the passages in the scriptures about the Jewish people coming out of exile then foreshadow Jewish people coming out of spiritual exile, coming into deliverance as the kingdom of God comes. So the messianic prophecies often have this as their backdrop, the Jewish people coming out of exile in Babylon. So this is just wonderful. Think of this. John the Immerser, John the Baptist, is this voice crying. Right, Matthew 3 and Mark 1 tell us that he brings to fulfillment this voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And he's actually positioned in the wilderness as he's doing this preaching. And what's his message? Repent. Turn from your sin. Turn to God. Why? Because he wants to forgive. Because he wants to cleanse. Look, friends, if we could see things from God's perspective and see that sin is our worst enemy, and recognize the destructive power of sin, and recognize that sin in our spirit is worse than sickness in our body. If we could recognize that, then we'd realize that repent is a life-giving word. It would be like this. There's a truck careening down the road. You've got a little child out in the road, and the child and the mother are standing there. Somehow that maybe they're looking at a little bug that's on the road, and oh, look at that! And somehow they don't see or hear this truck coming. And you say, "Look out! Look out!" And the mom looks up, grabs the kid, gets out of the way. Is she going to thank you, or is she going to say, "Wow, that was loud! Wow, that disturbed me." Well, no, that was nasty. No, she's going to say, "Oh, thank you. Thank God. I don't know how we missed that." That's what happens with us. We fall asleep sometimes. We get used to sin. We get so bombarded by it. One of my friends that hadn't gone to movies in years took his whole family to see a movie that was basically a clean movie. But he left. He said, "We're not going back." He said, "It's just too powerful. The images, the music, the cinematic presentation," he said, "it's just too powerful. And if we're constantly inundated with this," is just his own opinion, okay? I certainly share it totally if the thing is unclean or unacceptable. But he was saying it, the influence of it is so powerful and pervasive that it's like puts a trance on you, or you get into a trance, puts a spell on you, I should say. So in the same way, that's what sin does to us. It seduces us. It lures us in. It sings its sweet song. Come on, how many people have committed adultery to the destruction of their marriage or to the destruction of their family or to the destruction of their personal lives? And it was so sweet and so seductive and so beautiful and so powerful. And if someone came to them and said, "You got to repent, man. You got to repent, gal. You're going to destroy everything. It's not worth it. You're sinning against God." That's a good word. And if God says, "I'll restore you, I'll forgive you, I'll give you a brand new start, I'll make your marriage stronger than it's ever been, I'll make your life in me stronger than it's ever been," that's a wonderful word. That's why it says in Luke 15, there's joy in the presence of God in heaven over one sinner who repents. This is good news, not bad news. And as I draw close to the Lord and the Holy Spirit works in my life when I'm in real fellowship with him, sometimes, sad to say, we can be so busy working for him or working our jobs or caring for our family that we don't get close enough to him and slow our lives down enough to really hear his voice through his word by his spirit. And when I do, and he shows me something in my life that's displeasing or something that needs to be fixed or a way where I need to step higher or something he wants to give me if I'll open my life and heart to him, but I need to repent, that's a wonderful life-giving word. The Bible even talks about a life-giving rebuke. Repent, turn around, turn back to God is a good word. And when we heed it and walk in it, it's a key to restoration and blessing. 866-34-TRUTH. Hurley in Melrose, Massachusetts. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Hello? Whoa. Looks like we lost Hurley there. 866-34-TRUTH. I was so focused on Massachusetts that I said Pennsylvania. Oh, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? All right, so let's go to the New Testament. And if you have a question, well, where does this fit in the life of a believer? And isn't that condemnation? And isn't that negativity? I thought the gospel is good news. Last week we talked about if God doesn't remember our sins anymore, then where does the message of repentance fit in? Where does it fit into the world? I mean, we don't want to be like the people preaching some message that, if you become good enough, God might like you. If you work hard enough, God might accept you. No, that's not the message, nor is salvation by works. We cannot contribute by our good works to 1 inch of our salvation. Salvation is by God's grace and kindness. Where does repentance fit in with the message of salvation? I want to make that as clear as I can. Let's go on a journey through the New Testament, all right? Matthew, the 3rd chapter. And maybe you've heard me do this preaching in the past. You've read it in some of my books, or you've listened to one of my teaching series. Maybe you've heard me go through this on the radio. I want to go through it in a bit more depth today. But suffice it to say, this is the kind of thing that we ought to be reminded of. So we start in Matthew 3, right? Matthew 3, verse 1. "In those days, John the Immerser came preaching in the wilderness of Judea." What was his message? Remember, he's the forerunner of the Messiah. He's coming to do what? Prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. Look at it like this. The Lord is going to come and visit, and there's a path that he's going to be on, a road he's going to be taking, and it's filled with rubble. and some of it's so twisted that it takes forever to get down it. And there are some mountains that are in the way, and then some giant valleys. Repentance prepares the way of the Lord. Oh, it's a beautiful concept. In those days, John the Immerser came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." God is about to come and break in. The Messiah is about to be revealed. Time for us to clean house. Time for us to get rid of the things that are destructive. What if the Lord said, "I want to visit you. I want to come into your home. I want to bless you. I want to spend some time with you." Would we have to do some house cleaning? Repent is the word that God is moving, and we need to make some changes.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I was just looking at the relevant text in the Talmud. It's called Masechet, which is like a Talmudic book. Yoma 86a is the key part of the discussion that I was looking at, and looking at the Hebrew Aramaic text, which I've looked at before, and just an English translation in front of me. "Come and hear," Rabbi Judah said, "for everything from thou shalt not take and down, repentance procures atonement. For everything from thou shalt take and up, penitence procures suspension of punishment, and the day of atonement procures atonement." So there are questions. There's a discussion that's being asked, a discussion that they're engaging in. And here's where it says, it's an extensive discussion of repentance here, but it's talking about certain commandments, certain positive commandments, negative commandments, and how much power repentance has. And again, Judaism puts tremendous emphasis on the power of repentance. I would say that the missing ingredient in Judaism is the blood atonement. That's the fundamental, but joined with repentance, that's what changes life. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Let me ask you one other question as I go through the New Testament on repentance. Now, you may be more psyched about another topic, which is fine, but my goal here is not to entertain, but to equip, to edify, to strengthen. And of course, we're encouraged always by the many, many emails we receive and calls and letters and comments from people face-to-face about the life-giving effect of the broadcast that blesses us. That's why we do it. I may here and there share some fun things with you, like some funny email in my junk box or that kind of thing. But the goal overall is not to entertain, but to edify, to equip, to strengthen. And that's why we're really talking about repentance, how important it is in the New Testament, the role of repentance in the life of the believer. And in the second hour, which I understand many of you will not get on your radio stations, but you can listen to all of it later today online at AskDrBrown.org by clicking on the Line of Fire, I want to talk about misconceptions about the meaning of repentance. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. A question I want to ask you, and then we'll go back to reading New Testament texts. Do you often hear preaching about repentance? I'm talking about within the church as believers. Do you feel that this message is emphasized as much as it's emphasized in the New Testament? Or do you feel it's kind of a missing message, a missing theme today? Now, I don't want you to tell me your church. If you want to mention a denomination, that's fine. But again, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the norm for all those denominations, all the churches in the denomination. But you can just talk generically. Are you hearing much about repentance? Are you hearing much preaching of repentance in the churches, in the congregation where you are? In Jewish tradition, this past Sabbath is Shabbat Shuvah, the Sabbath of repentance, which comes in the midst of the whole high holy days between Rosh Hashanah, the traditional Jewish New Year, the day of the sounding of the shofar. In Leviticus 23, we talked about it last Thursday, and then Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement on the Jewish calendar. Certainly, repentance is a major theme within Judaism, and it's certainly a major theme within the New Testament itself. But do we hear much about it? 866-34-TRUTH. Tell me the truth. I mean, if you're hearing it preached, what effect does it have on your congregation? If you're not hearing it preached, what effect does it have on your congregation? So John comes with his message, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then there are further references to repentance throughout the third chapter, speaking of John's ministry. He said, well, that was John. He was the forerunner of the Messiah. When Jesus came, he just gave a message of life. He just said, I've come to give you abundant life. He said that John came with a negative message, like a funeral message, and Jesus came playing the flute, Matthew 11, Luke 7. So it's just time for a celebration. Well, what does Jesus say when he takes up the message? Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, after John has been imprisoned, Yeshua begins preaching, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The exact same words that John preached. What do you know? Then, let's go over to Mark. Mark chapter 1 starts off the same way, summarizing the message of Jesus. Listen to this. Mark 1, 14, 15. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the good news. Turn around. Turn away from your sin. Turn away from your self-will. Turn to God. Now's the time. Now's the time. And then when he sends out his disciples, Mark chapter 6, and we'll see they preach the same message in the book of Acts after Jesus died and rose from the dead. So they went out, Mark 6, 12, and proclaimed that people should repent. What do you know? They went out and proclaimed that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Isn't that remarkable? Now we get into Luke's gospel where the theme of repentance occurs a lot. Luke chapter 5, as religious leaders were questioning him, and why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answers, Luke 5:31, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Oh, I've told gay activists who like to say, well, Jesus hung out with the tax collectors and the sinners. Yes, yes. He was inclusive, but he did not practice affirmational inclusion. He practiced transformational inclusion. He said, I've come to bring healing to the sick. I've come to bring repentance to sinners, a change of life, a brand new beginning, forgiveness, and a brand new beginning. Boy, that's what repentance is all about. We're going to open this up more in the New Testament. I've written about this in different books. I've spoken about it often. It's a wonderful theme. Just go to AskDrBrown.org and put in the word repent with an asterisk at the end, and it'll get you to articles and different messages with these themes as well. And remember, we've got a really, really neat special offer this week. It's two DVDs of my TV show, Think It Through. One of the broadcasts is called An Incomplete Religion. We delve into the question, is Judaism an incomplete religion? We talk about the beauty of it, but ask the question, is something missing? And along with that, another TV show that we did called A Rest Beyond the Sabbath. These were our own shows. We produced them for the Inspiration Network. They produced them working with us. Massive amount of time and effort went into each one. I think you'll really be blessed. We want to send both to you just for $10 postage paid. How's that for a good deal? Two DVDs. You watch them. You'll love them. Share them with your friends. Give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. That's 1-800-278-9978. And if the Holy Spirit's dealing with you about anything wrong in your own life, don't push him away. Say, yes, Lord, by your grace, I'll turn. If you feel you can't, ask him for help. He's there to help us in repentance. Back with your call. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at. I had in the Talmud Yoma 86b, and then when I flipped open to an English translation just to search for the word repentance, because that was a live document where I could search, I was on 86a. That's what I was missing. So here's the very end of 86a. That's the front page, and you flip it over. That's b. In the Talmud, the tractate on the Day of Atonement called Yoma, the Day, Rabbi Leve said, "Great is repentance, for it reaches up to the throne of glory. As it is said, return, O Israel, unto the Lord thy God." And then, that's quoting from Hosea 14. Then, 86b, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Great is repentance, for it overrides a prohibition of the Torah. As it is said, saying, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's, may he return to her again." And then God says, return, Jeremiah the third chapter. Rabbi Yonatan said, "Great is repentance because it brings about redemption, as it is said, and the Redeemer will come to Zion," and on. Great is repentance. Rabbi Meir used to say, "Great is repentance, for on account of an individual who repents, the sins of the world are forgiven. It is said, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger is turned away from him. From them, it is not said, but from him." These are just insights from Judaism and Jewish tradition into the power of repentance. 866-34-TRUTH. To the phones, Tom in Jericho on Long Island. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, hi, Dr. Michael Brown. It's a pleasure having the opportunity to speak with you today.
Thanks, man.
My topics, real questions, real quicker is this. Number one would be, if we talk about the Ten Commandments and you hear God said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, how come we don't emphasize keeping the Sabbath? Now, I'm a Christian, but we don't emphasize keeping the Sabbath. We emphasize everything else, but not keeping the Sabbath. And I want to know why. How can we pull that? Why is that done?
Go ahead.
The second would be, briefly, if you have anything in reference to hell and trying to figure out why is hell eternal, why would God punish somebody eternally, which doesn't really make sense to me.
Yeah,
and then the last question, real quick, is like when it comes to baptism.
Just hang on. I'm happy to take questions, but Friday is really the day for all kinds of random questions. And today I thought that we were focused on repentance with our phone calls. So I'm happy to take other questions. Don't mean to cut you off, but we just have to kind of hold to the integrity of where we're going. But let me just respond to this briefly and say that if you'll go to my website, askdrbrown.org, okay, and just type in the word hell, you'll see shows where we've talked about it, gotten to some depth discussing it. You can also go, you can type in the word Sabbath there as well, and you'll see my discussions about Sabbath. So if you go to askdrbrown.org, all right, and type in the word Sabbath and then do a search there, you'll find what I've written about it. You'll find where I've talked about it on the radio because the subject comes up often, and then do the same thing for hell. Also, I'd encourage you to get hold of my new book, 60 Questions Christians Ask About Jewish Beliefs and Practices. So I'd love to talk about these in more depth, but it's just a little off topic today. So I do appreciate you calling. AskDrBrown.org, type in the keywords you're looking for, and you'll see we've addressed these quite a few times on the air. 866-34-TRUTH, Julie in Houston, you'll be next right after the break. So let me ask you again. Do you hear a lot of repentance preaching in your churches, in your congregations? Do you hear, and I'm not asking you to name names, okay? Do you hear calls to repent? Do you hear leaders talking about the standards of God and calling us to turn back? If not, I have a question. What is it that John the Immerser, John the Baptist knew, and Jesus knew, and the apostles know? What did they all know about repentance that we don't know? Have we found a better way than they had?
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If repentance is such a wonderful message in Scripture, it's negative only in terms of it has to be preached. If we were perfectly obedient and in perfect fellowship with the Lord and doing His will perfectly on the earth, it wouldn't have to be preached. But because we're not, it is preached, and it's good news. It's good news in that there's an offer of a way back, and when we turn back, not like, oh, God, I'm the most worthless, terrible sinner in the world. Now, you may come under conviction like that a few times in your life where the Lord reveals our condition in His sight. And as it says in James, Jacob, the fourth chapter, we have to wail and mourn. That happens sometimes. But for the most part, it's, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to displease you. I just want to honor you. Lord, this thing is unacceptable. I recognize it. I turn from it. Wash me clean. In Jesus' name, we accept His forgiveness and life, and we move on. We move forward. If we're not hearing the word to repent, it could be that we're out of fellowship with God. It could be that we've hardened our heart to the point that we're not sensitive to His voice calling us back. Look, many of the letters in the New Testament deal with issues and problems in the church, and God does that because of His love. We're His children. We don't discipline kids that aren't ours. We discipline our own kids. God speaks these things to us out of His love. We're going to go through some more New Testament scripture in a moment, but first your calls, 866-34-TRUTH. Online, ask drbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Julie in Houston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, hello. How are you?
Doing fine, thank you.
Listen, this subject burns in me. It's, oh my gosh, if I was a man, I would so be preaching. But and to myself also, I feel that repentance is of the utmost importance. I don't think you can have rebirth without it. I don't think you can have the abundant life without it. And I mean, I know this from my own personal experience, as well as, you know, as you pointed out, from cover to cover, the Bible teaches repentance. And every awesome thing God does in my life, I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, we have to be perfect. Well, actually, we have been called to be perfect. We've been commanded to be perfect. That's what we are to strive for. But the things that happen in my life that are awesome, they are always a result of me laying down my will and surrendering to my God. It's not going to happen. And we've taught a whole generation, to answer your question, in church, what I hear most, and not in the church I'm currently in, but what my experience has been is that we're preaching the power of God to change our circumstances. And that's true. But I wonder how many times God is waiting on us to repent so He can either
right.
work us through.
Yeah, the problem is more often inside than outside. The problem is more often in our own lives than what surrounds us. And I'll tell you this, if I had a choice of having everything around me lined up perfectly for spiritual success and my own life out of order, or my own life lined up perfectly with God and everything around me out of order, I'd take the second scenario any day of the week without hesitation, because I know if I'm in right relationship with God, all things are possible. So Julie, in a nutshell, what does repentance mean to you? How would you define it if someone, they don't have theological background, they don't understand this, what do you mean by repentance?
When we feel in our spirit that something in us is not right, we are to surrender our will to God and say, okay, God, I know that if I follow through with what you're telling me not to do and I do it anyway, I will not win. The only way to freedom is through obedience. That's repentance, just turning to Him and surrendering our will.
Yeah, that is a lovely definition, Julie. And hey, you did some good preaching on the radio here. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much, Dr. Brown.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Dawn, where are you on Long Island?
Oh, I'm in Nassau County.
Okay. Well, where in Nassau County? That's where I grew up.
In Limbrook.
Okay. All right. I grew up in Island Park and went to West Hempstead High School and just stayed at a hotel in Limbrook while preaching in Valley Stream last week. So, Just curious, when I see Long Island on the board there, always...
I did see you. You came to my church. So.
Okay, awesome.
I'm not saying churches, but you came to my church. It was awesome. I really appreciate that you were there.
Oh, it was a joy.
I commend you for being so bold to speak of righteousness, because it isn't always heard. And what the other lady just said was fantastic as well. It's really important. I was just feeling in our youth of today.
Yeah.
Because not, I'm of course with adults, but with the youth, they're not understanding the repentance. I don't think they're really being taught that we have to repent. And it's just such an important issue, only because I work with youth, and I just see that they don't comprehend what that is.
Yeah. Let me ask this. On an even more fundamental level, do you think our youth have a solid understanding of moral absolutes, that certain things are right and other things are wrong, regardless of how you feel about it?
I don't think so. I think that parents are giving a mixed message, and they're not really being firm in what they believe in. I think there's a lot of wavering. And if you can tell your child not to do something, but if you're doing it with the wrong thing, it's not going to do any good for anybody. And
yeah.
You're confusing them.
Yeah, I mean, when everything is up for grabs, when it's simply a matter of how I feel about it, and it's ultimately all about me, I feel good about this, and I don't feel good about this, as opposed to God says this is right, God says this is wrong. I mean, it's just like a road that has no boundaries to it and no firm direction. It just goes whichever way you turn it. And absolutely, we have hurt young people because of failure to hand down moral absolutes, and we kind of twist and turn the thing, you know, it's in the word based on what we prefer. And, you know, as parents, you're often told that your kids need boundaries. And as much as some parents don't like to say no, and or they don't like to discipline their kids, you have to tell them, you know, it makes for a lot more certainty in your kid's life. They feel much more secure when they have certain parameters around them.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with teens and then even adults growing up in the body, that when we have clear moral absolutes based on Scripture, knowing this is God's loving will, then those are boundaries of life that keep us off the path of death and that,
right.
that bring us freedom and deliverance. So, yeah, of course, we're in harmony on this, Dawn. It needs to be preached, and we need to model it for our young people. And then we need to show the power of repentance through the blood of Jesus, that transformation really can come. And no matter how hopeless the current situation is, God can
Amen.
Turn it around for good.
Amen. Because, you know, it opens the doorway to the prayer being answered by God. We're
yes.
hindering, by not doing repentance, we're hindering the prayers that really could be answered so much more quickly
yeah,
than what's
absolutely.
Happening. And
hey,
parents, we have to realize that we are held accountable. It's not just a joke to have children, but we will be accountable for what we have done with them.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Dawn, do me one favor just
yes.
before we get off the air. You used this word earlier, but it's spelled A-W-E-S-O-M-E. Would you say it again so our listeners across the country know the right way to pronounce this word?
Awesome.
Yeah, a little bit more of the awe. Awesome.
You
All
are
right.
from New York? Awesome.
Awesome. We got to educate our listeners. That's what the show's about. All right, God bless you, Dawn. Thank
God
you.
God bless you. Thank you.
All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Matthew in Methuen, is that how you pronounce it, Massachusetts?
It is, yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, I'm heading up your way in just a few hours right after the show to get ready for our radio rally tomorrow night in Malden. I hope to see you
wow.
there. But what's on your mind, Matthew?
I guess the question I would have would be, if someone goes to God in repentance of something they've done or something that they've thought, and in their heart, they're really, truly repentant of that deed or a thought or action, yet they would slip back into it or, like, I don't know, fall back into that mindset
mm-hmm.
again. What would be your thoughts or how would you talk to that person?
Yeah, and, you know, Matthew, you may be asking for yourself, but you're asking for thousands and thousands of others who find themselves in that same situation. First thing, encourage yourself that you really, in the core of your being, don't want to do that thing. In other words, recognize that God has changed you. That, you know, for example, before I was saved, I loved to shoot drugs. I loved to get high. I loved to be mean and cruel to other people in my sinful, demented ways. And when the Lord changed me and transformed me, if I found that, you know, I lost my temper, I was grieved over that because that's not who I really was. You know, maybe someone used to be really promiscuous and they'd sleep around with whoever they wanted. Now they watch something they shouldn't and Lord, I'm sorry for that. Maybe they've fallen into it a few times, but the fact is that they grieve over it and don't want to do it. That's the first proof that there's a change that's taken place. So first, encourage yourself with that I am concerned because that's not what I want to do, and that's not who I am anymore. That's the first thing. The second thing is really cry out to God, Lord, grant me a deeper repentance. Demonstrate in me the power of the blood of Jesus. Demonstrate in me the power of your Holy Spirit. Give me a deep repentance that'll really change me. And then thirdly, whatever you can to make lifestyle changes that put you in a different environment or surround your thought life in different ways, be it turning certain things off or not being in certain places or filling your mind with God's word, you'll find that those things can produce life-changing habits. Be encouraged. The fact that it grieves you means God is at work in your life. Friends, we'll be back with more. And Matthew, keep listening. I want to comment some more.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire as we focus on the subject of repentance. Hang on the line. I want to get to more calls, even if we've got to take some of the calls in the next hour. I'd be happy to do so. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, you can weigh in on our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown. By the way, a little later today on townhall.com, my article entitled, Is It Racist to Criticize Your Own Race, will be occurring. I strongly encourage you to check that out. Right now on townhall.com, you can still read my article, The Girl Who Thought She Was a Werewolf Vampire. Matthew had asked a question. What happens when you try to repent and you seem unsuccessful? God, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And you end up doing the same things. Then what? You know, God, I blew it, I'm sorry, and you keep falling into it. That happens to many of us in different areas in our lives. So again, recognize the fact that you're upset with it and grieved over it and don't want to go in that direction. That's positive. Because if you weren't a child of God, you'd just gladly go do the same thing over and over and over and over if you hadn't had your life changed or if the Holy Spirit isn't drawing you to himself. And secondly, really cry out. I've had to do it sometimes in my life where something just seems so deeply ingrained in me and so much a part of me, and it was wrong, that I just cried out, God, demonstrate the power of your Spirit in my life. Demonstrate the power of the blood of Jesus. If this is just a matter of trying harder, then the gospel's not true. If this is just a matter of I'll work hard at it and get better, then the gospel is not true. So I really cried out, demonstrate the power of the gospel in my life. Grant me a true and deeper repentance. Oh, remember one time in particular was it purging and agonizing and seeing uncleanness in my life in the light of God's holiness and love and goodness. What a wretch I felt like. But wow, was I changed. Deeply, dramatically, wonderfully changed. And not just a figment of my own imagination. I mean, you know, you could ask my own wife, you could ask Nancy. I mean, deep things that God did. So really cry out about that. And then thirdly is follow the counsel of 2 Timothy 2:22, which says this, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Make a break however you know how to make a break. If you have to cancel your subscription to cable, say, if you have to get off the computer, if you have to find a different route to work, if you have to find a new circle of friends, make a break with the things that you have the power to make a break with. For example, if I was going away on a prayer retreat for a week and I was going to be staying in a cabin and I really wanted to make a break with sweets and chocolate during that time, well, I wouldn't stock up the refrigerator and the pantry with every type of chocolate treat that I like while I'm alone in that cabin. I'd not have any of it there, and it would be a whole lot easier to be free. So wherever you can make the break, do it, and then get with others of like heart so you can run your race together. And remember, God is merciful and compassionate to the brokenhearted. When we humble ourselves and ask for grace and mercy, he is merciful and compassionate and long-suffering, and will forgive us 70 times 7 as we humble ourselves before him. Here are a few more verses in the New Testament about repentance. In Luke 13, Jesus tells those asking him that unless they repent, they too will perish, because human beings are universally sinful in need of mercy. In Luke 15:7, and in Luke 15:10, Jesus says there's joy in the presence of God, the presence of the angels of God in heaven, over one sinner who repents. And then this is reinforced with the story of the prodigal son, a picture of repentance in action. And then in Luke 24, the Great Commission is given by Jesus. Look at his words, Luke 24:47, repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And if you'll check in the book of Acts, beginning in the second chapter, Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 5, Acts 11, and in the words of Paul, Acts 17, Acts 20, Acts 26, repent, turn to God, is the first word of the gospel. Repentance and faith go hand in hand. They're like two sides of the same coin. You know what repentance and faith say in short? God, save me from my sins. That's repentance and faith hand in hand. Putting our faith in the Lord to do what? Save us from our sins. And then 2 Peter 3:9, of course, tells us that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Hebrews 6:1 talks about laying the foundations of repentance from dead works, from acts that lead to death, and faith in God. And then in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, Jesus speaks to seven congregations in Asia Minor. Seven congregations in Asia Minor. And five of the seven have sin and junk in their lives, in their midst. And what does Jesus say? Repent or else. But with repentance, a wonderful promise, culminating with the word to Laodicea, where he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. I stand at the door and knock. It's an invitation to come and renew fellowship and bring blessing, blessing, blessing to his people. Repent is a wonderful word. Turn back, be cleansed, be washed, make a brand new start. Your sins can be blotted out. Look, friend, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how far you've fallen. There may be consequences in this world, but if you'll turn to God and ask him to cleanse you and wash you and give you a brand new start, he will. That's the wonderful, beautiful power of repentance through the blood of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not us trying our hardest, doing our best, but the Lord reaching down in mercy. And 2 Corinthians 7 lays out a picture of what repentance is in the life of a believer. Godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. And Paul lays out the quality of repentance in their lives. Praise God for that. Hey, can we make available to you a wonderful resource? I mean, something that you'll really enjoy watching and you'll have a great time showing your friends. These DVDs that we have of a wonderful TV series we did called Think It Through, produced by the Inspiration Network. We worked really hard on this over a number of years. Now these are available online and still shown internationally on INI. But we want to send you two DVDs. We've reduced the price. We'll pay the postage. Really fascinating TV shows that we did on the streets of New York and other cities. One of them is called An Incomplete Religion, about the Jewish faith. You'll find it fascinating. Is it incomplete or not? And another one, A Rest Beyond the Sabbath, the meaning of the Sabbath in Judaism, and then the rest we find in Yeshua. These were both recorded live in New York City. Fascinating shows. Just $10 for the two DVDs. How's that? And we'll pay the postage. But call or order at 1-800-278-9978. You can order online at AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Or again, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, when God wants to bless us, when God wants to pour out his Spirit on us, when God wants to move in our midst, when God wants to visit us, he speaks that great word to us, repent, turn back, so his Spirit can be poured out and fellowship restored. Don't resist. Embrace. We hear a lot of criticism about the word repentance today. Is repentance merely a change of mind, or is it an about-face by the power of God?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Repent. Repentance. Bad news or good news? And what does it actually mean? Have you heard that repent just means change your mind? Just change your mind. That's what repent means. It doesn't mean change of life. Doesn't mean change of lifestyle. Doesn't mean turning away from sin, turning to God. That would be works. That would be salvation by works. Repent just means change your mind. Change your mind about Jesus. Is that all it means? We're going to take that up today as we help lay important foundations in your life. And now look, I know there are subjects that are more exciting. Oh, we're going to talk about the secrets of the book of Revelation and the meaning of silence in heaven. And where John was told, don't write anything. We're going to speculate on what it meant. We're going to tell you about a new discovery that no one in the history of the world has known about except for me, because I have access to secret documents that are going to tell you a new truth about the Bible. No, I know those things can be exciting and sensationalistic, but the fact of the matter is, it's not what we need to hear and know. And there's not going to be some new secret discovery that's going to completely change our view of God. But understanding what the Bible says about repentance, I just spent a good part of the last hour going through the New Testament, not the old, the negative, the Old Testament. No, the New Testament. And God forbid that we hold to this view that one is bad, the other is good. They're both wonderful. They're both God's word. But I spent most of the show going through verses in the New Testament about repentance. What does it actually mean? And how can repentance, according to one godly German Christian author, now with the Lord, Basilius Schling, how could repentance be the key to a joy-filled life? If someone asked you, what does it mean to repent? What does repentance mean? What would your answer be? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire, especially to listen to both hours of programming. You can do that shortly after the show is over. In my book, It's Time to Rock the Boat, which was recently reprinted together with Whatever Happened to the Power of God, I address this issue of the definition of repentance. And it's important that we understand what words mean. Now, you say, well, I don't think it's fair that, you know, everybody has to know Hebrew, everybody has to know Greek. We're not able. And didn't Jesus say he reveals these things to the simple of heart? And, you know, what if dictionaries disagree? Or what if one scholar tells me one thing and another scholar tells me another thing? Well, I think that's a very fair question. So I would simply say that context makes very clear, even if you can't read Hebrew or Greek or don't have any dictionaries. I've often said if the dictionaries in my studio here collapsed on me, I'd be in big trouble because I got a whole lot of them here. But what's clear in the biblical evidence? You know, Jesus speaks about people, be more tolerable for those in Sodom and Gomorrah. It talks about the people than those who saw the miracles of Jesus and didn't respond. And he says, you know, the men of Nineveh, those repented in sackcloth and ashes. They changed their mind in sackcloth and ashes. Is that what it says? Or when John the Baptist in Luke 3 is preaching repentance and they say, what do we do? He doesn't say change your mind. He says, turn around. Do an about face. The simplest meaning of repentance: turn away from your sin, turn to God. He'll turn away from his wrath and turn to you in mercy. We'll be back.
God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're talking about repentance. We're talking about what repentance actually means. Does repentance simply mean change your mind about Jesus? When Peter preaches in Acts, the second chapter, in verse 36 says, "Let all the house of Israel know this, that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." And they're cut to the heart, verse 37, and say, "Men and brothers, what do we do?" And he says in verse 38, "Repent and be immersed, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, forgiveness of sins." Does he just mean change your mind about Jesus there? Or is it a larger picture there of turn away from sin and turn to God? Yeah, in this case, the sin of rejecting the Messiah. But to say it's just change of mind, not only have I checked every major Greek dictionary that I know of. I'm not going to list them all, but as I'm just looking in my office, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, at least 9. I'm talking about major, some of them as many as 10 volumes. Every major dictionary lexicon I can find defines the Greek words for repentance, the verb repent and the noun repentance, in the New Testament as more than just a change of mind, life, a turning around, a recognition of sin and a turning to God. I'm paraphrasing rather than giving you detailed definitions here. Every single one of them, not only that Jesus or John would have been preaching in Hebrew or more likely Aramaic, in which case they would have been preaching the message of turn around. Here, listen to these words. I'm assuming you don't know Hebrew, but listen, you're going to hear the same sound over and over, this alliteration. Shuvu banim shovavim erpa meshuvotechem. Shuvu banim shovavim, turn back, O back-turning children. Erpa meshuvotechem, I will heal your backslidings. From Jeremiah, the third chapter. This is the great message of the prophets carried into the New Testament. But now we're empowered by the Spirit. We're empowered by the life of the Spirit to turn around. How? By faith. It's a gift. It's not, "I'm going to do better, Lord, and after I do better, then you'll accept me. I'm going to quit that drinking, and after 6 months, I hope you'll accept." No. God have mercy on me. God save me. I recognize my guilt. I recognize my sins. Save me from my sins. I want to live a new life. That's repentance. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And you better believe it plays an important role in the life of the believer. Okay, Joyce in Ipswich, Massachusetts. I'm heading up your way tonight for the radio rally tomorrow.
I know. I've really been trying for 2 weeks to find a ride because it's too far at night. But I've called all the Nazarene churches and WEZE.
I'm so glad you really want to be there. If not, shoot a note to our website to askdrbrown.org, or in fact, stay on hold when we're done talking, and I'll send you a CD that we'll be giving out to everyone tomorrow night. We'll send one to your house if you can't make it, all right?
Oh, thank you. I really and repent. I helped with the Billy Graham phone counseling and turn the other way, you know, turning around.
Yeah. I mean, here's how I like to illustrate it. I'm in the car with Nancy, and I'm heading south, and I'm supposed to be going north. And she says, "Hon, you're heading in the wrong direction." I said, no, I'm not. I'm not heading in the wrong direction. She goes, look at the numbers should be going up. They're going down. No, I'm heading in the right direction. I'm stubborn about it. And finally, after 10 minutes, I said, "Honey, you're absolutely right." Boy, I thought I was heading in the right direction, but now I realize I wasn't. I changed my mind. Well, if I don't turn the car around, what good does it do? If I just change my mind without it having an effect on the rest of my life, what good does it do? Nothing.
And so, I've been a Christian about 50 years. I became a Christian when I was 16, but I've been married 41 years. My husband died 9 years ago, but I just can't get enough. You know, I take a lot of courses at Gordon Conwell Seminary, and I get teased about it. I do almost every Akinge course they have.
Oh, well, good for you.
And I'm in a really good church, but my husband had a terrible time finding a good church. He was in meteorology 22 years, so we moved 22 times, and we came to New England, we finally found many good churches.
Well, I'm so glad to hear that. I'm God willing, be meeting with hundreds of pastors tomorrow at a special luncheon with WECE for leaders in the greater Boston area. I really want to encourage them and give them a life-giving challenge and put hope before them, because we are called to make a difference in New England. That's revolutionary territory. But Joyce, stay on the line, and we'll get your information. If you, we'll assume you're not making it without the ride, and we'll send you this CD that we're giving out tomorrow for free. All right, Dennis in Port Arthur, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
Yes, sir. You know, I'm a truck driver, and we were just having this conversation this morning about repentance. And I know it's a large picture, Mike. It's huge. But like the piece that we had got this morning, if we were going to tell somebody that didn't have that much biblical knowledge and whatnot, we would tell them to rethink, because Jesus said, you know, repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's humongous right there. Rethink, turn around, repent because the kingdom of heaven is there, and believe in the gospel. And,
yes.
And we don't have enough preachers preaching the gospel. They say they're preaching the uncompromising words, the inordinate words, the you know, all this prosperity and everything. But we are saying to get back to the gospel that Jesus preached, and that's what we got out of it. Now, I know maybe a lot of people don't want to listen to truck drivers, but I tell you, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is moving out here, Mike.
Yeah, and you know, Dennis, I appreciate the call. I appreciate the good word about truck drivers. You know, the fact is, when we just preach this superficial message and how to have a nicer and better and happier life, right? And
yeah.
You know what it's like? It's like you've got a cancer patient in a hospital in terrible pain. They've got no appetite. They're losing weight. They're withering away. They're going to die. And we're talking to them about, you can have the latest big screen TV. And we have this beautiful new blanket for you. And it's the most, it has diamonds on. He doesn't care about that. He's going to die. He needs
right.
to be healed. The same thing with the message of repentance. We've got people dying in sin. We've got people confused and bound. We've got families
exactly.
and lives falling apart. And we're telling people how to prosper financially. I mean, some of them need to know how to live in a responsible, moral way. But we're trying to treat all the outside stuff and trying to, rather than help them from the inside out. That's the life-giving power of repentance. So, amen, Dennis. I'm with you. Thank you for calling, sir. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Jennifer in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. Thanks for your program. I just wanted to say that I believe for myself, repentance, I understand it. I go back to the day I got saved. But when I explain it, or I'm trying to talk to my teenager about repentance, it seems like all I'm hearing coming out of my mouth is perfection. I'm getting tripped up. It's sounding more like, well, if you stop doing this outward behavior, you're repenting. Does that make
yeah,
sense?
So here's what you need to tell her is, what we're talking about is a change on the inside so that the outward behavior changes. So
I'm sorry, but if we're talking about a specific area that we're asking them, because I believe he's a believer,
mm-hmm.
they're asking to repent about, okay, I see what you're saying.
Right,
but
so in other words,
sure
we can get them.
If he does that one more time, does that mean he's not repented? There, that's,
well,
I guess, what I'm
if he grieves over it, recognizes it's wrong, and really wants to do the right thing, he may have a few fits and starts along the way. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because
yeah.
of the weakness of human nature. Because maybe he hasn't changed his environment yet. Maybe the thing has to go deeper. But you know the story about, you know, there's a kid standing at the kitchen table and the mom says, sit down. And the kid sits down and says, I'm sitting on the outside, but I'm standing on the inside.
Yeah.
What we want, like let's say, for example, you got a teenager and he is involved with an unsaved girl. And she's into the party scene and he's been raised to do what's right. Well, breaking up with her is important. But the bigger thing is that he recognizes that this is grieving to the Lord, that it's dangerous to his own soul, that it's not even in her best interest, based on which he says, God, I'm sorry, I've sinned against you, forgive me, wash me clean. And he recognizes the sin and turns from it. So it's really, really important, Jennifer, to pray for conviction of sin, that there'll be a recognition of the wrongness of it. I mean, this happened to me 40 years ago, right during the season. People were praying for me as I was into my heavy partying, drug-using lifestyle and thinking I was doing great. And people began to pray for me. And next thing, I started to feel unclean and like a wretch. And when God revealed his love to me, wow, I was transformed. So change from the inside out. And then as you see them going in the right direction, encourage them, even if they have some fits and starts. We'll be back with more of your calls. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. Can I encourage you, to go to townhall.com, and you'll be able to read my article that was just posted. We talked a lot about this subject yesterday, but I really encourage you to read my article. Is it racist to criticize your own race? Just post it on townhall.com. So go there. It should be right on the homepage. And then if you can do two things, where it says like, Michael Brown, columnist, townhall.com, click on that if you'd like to recommend my columns to others. The reason I write these things and take time, in fact, I feel led of the Lord to write these things, doesn't mean they're infallible, of course, but I feel burdened to do it, to take time to do this, is to get messages out to people that I wouldn't normally communicate with, especially readers that might not even be believers. So this will expose us to more. And then recommend it on Facebook or tweet it. You'll have the options to do that. And then if you want to try out your hand at making comments, go ahead and do it. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Are we hearing enough of the preaching of repentance? Are we hearing people from our pulpits saying, turn from sin, just as Jesus did? Look, I am convinced. I'm telling you what I believe, of course. I am convinced that if Jesus walked into many of our churches and we gave him the pulpit, he would not just say, I love you, I love you, I love you so much I died for you. You are the apple of my eye. I am so excited about you. Now, I would imagine just being in his presence, if he stood there, we would melt. We would be overwhelmed. We would be undone. We'd be falling on our faces and saying, oh, you're beautiful, Lord, you're amazing. And we'd probably start repenting before he said a word. You know what I'm saying? Like Zacchaeus in Luke, the 19th chapter, here he is, a notorious tax collector, so he's obviously corrupt, and people know he's corrupt, and he's wealthy because of his corruption. And Jesus calls him out by name, apparently just by revelation, calls him out by name and says, I'm going to eat at your house today. And it doesn't. The account does not say a word about anything Jesus said. Not a word. It simply says that Zacchaeus immediately says, Lord, if I've extorted, taken money from the poor, I'm going to pay that back fourfold, and half the rest of my possessions I'm giving away to the poor. Whoa. Wow. Is that amazing or what? That's what the presence of God does. I believe if Jesus came in our midst, most of our churches in America and most of our lives personally, hey, I'll say my life personally, if I had a deeper encounter with him, part of his message would be repent. Part of his message in his love would be, I'm not pleased with this. You've fallen away here. You've been negligent here. You've gotten indifferent here. You've left your first love. Whatever the thing is, you've justified this. You've picked up this bad habit. Now turn from it because I want to restore you and bless you. I believe he'd be preaching that. Come on, if it was 5 out of the 7 churches in Asia Minor, you're telling me it's not going to be a high percentage today? This was within the first century of the death and resurrection of Jesus that these things took place. Within the first century of his death and resurrection, he's coming with this message. How much more now, as we're almost 2,000 years after the time of the cross? 866-34-TRUTH. Lewis in Roy, Utah, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how you doing?
Doing very well, thank you.
Yeah, it's it's vitally important, the message of repentance. I mean, that's the difference between salvation and not being saved. I'm actively involved in the jail ministry down here in the Davis County area, and constantly going into the jail, and I use a lot of James McDonald material, and it's awesome. You know, there can't be any repentance unless the word is proclaimed. And, you know, if you apologize for the gospel or if you try to make it palatable for people who are just seekers, it loses its power. You know, the Holy Spirit isn't going to empower what isn't His. But when you stand up in faith and in boldness and in love, mm-hmm. and you present the situation, God comes into the situation and convicts people to the point of then they have that fear of God. They see where they're at, and then the love of God and the mercy of God becomes a treasure to them, and they go out with all their heart. And yes, it's a hard attitude that changes through the proclamation, and then of course then your actions on the outward, they follow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they follow. Acts 26 echoes the words of John in Matthew 3 and Luke 3: bring forth fruits worthy of
Absolutely.
Repentance. And Lewis, you hit on something so important. The gospel is the power of God. This is not the right psychological approach. We're going to talk you into doing the right thing. We're going to meet you where you are and hang out where you are and little by little show you something that you can accept. Now, of course, we try to meet people where they are in reaching out to them, but this is a message we proclaim by the power of God. And when we do, it has a supernatural effect. And people who were bound and enslaved in the most horrific things and saw no way out, they're suddenly delivered because this is not human effort or human power. This is the power of the gospel. And yes, you're right. God's ways then appear to be so beautiful and so wonderful. Lewis, thank you for weighing in. Well said. Amen. 866-34-TRUTH. Lawrence in Hollywood, Florida, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yo, Mikey, graveyardstick bull bat.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, listen, Matthew 3:11,
mm-hmm.
John the Baptist uses the word repentance. He's going to baptize with water, and he says Jesus will come after me, baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. When you check out the word repent in Strong's Concordance, it means to think differently or afterwards or to reconsider. And that's all for receiving Christ or for your spirit salvation. Whatever I see with repentance or repent. And the Webster's Dictionary is, you know, common usage, what's like colloquialism, what people use.
Mm-hmm.
And it says to change your mind. So as far as I can see, repentance means to change your mind about Christ and receive Him as your Lord and Savior.
Yeah, it's a change of mind that produces a change of life. It's a change of mind that produces an about face. So I recognize I'm heading in the wrong direction, and
right.
I ask God with His mercy, with His help, to point me in the right direction, to just change my mind without it changing my life. My heart, my actions wouldn't be repentance. And if it's simply my own willpower, it's not repentance. But when it's joined with God's help and grace, man, everything is possible. Hey, Lawrence, thanks for weighing in. You know, he mentioned stickball. I didn't realize that stickball was not a national sport until we started having students come from other parts of America in the mid-1980s, early mid-1980s, when I was teaching in a Bible school on Long Island. And I found out they'd never heard of stickball. That was more of a inner city game and then got picked up in suburbs. But great game to play. I haven't played in a while. I imagine I could still play decently if anyone in my area would like to be introduced to the game. And you got a nice wall against which we can play. We'll talk more about repentance. I'll share some definitions with you about repentance. We'll continue to open the scriptures in a life-giving way. And if you find yourself away from God right now or out of fellowship, turn to Him. Lord, forgive me. Wash me clean. Give me a brand new start. Do what you know how to do and watch what He will do.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It was one of the early church leaders who made the comment, before we can repent, we have to undeceive ourselves. Ooh, what do you think of that? Before we can repent, we have to undeceive ourselves. Remember what the church in Laodicea said? Jesus says to them, you say I'm rich, increased in wealth, and have need of nothing, but don't realize you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. We have to undeceive ourselves. 866-34-TRUTH. Online, ask drbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. By the way, I seek to make every single broadcast on the line of fire count and be important. I really want to share some very, very important things with you tomorrow. So if you don't normally listen on Wednesdays because of your travel schedule or work schedule, do your best to tune in. If you can't tune in live, get the broadcast later on our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the line of fire. We're talking about repentance today, the meaning of repentance. God willing, on Thursday, we'll talk about atonement in Judaism and Jewish tradition. I think you'll find that to be eye-opening and helpful. Tuesdays on the line of fire, we focus on Bible, theology, apologetics, practical living. Wednesday, moral, cultural issues. Thursday, issues related to Israel, the Jewish people. In my book, Whatever Happened to the Power of God, which was recently reprinted together with It's Time to Rock the Boat, so two volumes in one, I have a chapter called Repentance, the Missing Jewel. And I wrote this, there's hardly anything more fundamental to the life of a believer than repentance. Hardly anything more life-giving, more liberating, more glorious. That's why the devil has sought to discredit it. Mention repentance to most believers and immediately they think of condemnation, browbeating, negativity, judgmentalism, and death. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Repentance is a gift from God, a gift. I changed my voice there. But it's a gift. It's a gift from God. Without it, sinners cannot be regenerated and saints cannot be renewed. It is a wonder of God's infinite grace. Only the imperfect are candidates for it. Repentance is exclusively for those who've fallen short, who acknowledge their need, who've turned away, who've sinned, who want to come back. It's not for the totally righteous or self-sufficient. They do not qualify for such a precious gem. Nor do they know what they're missing. Repentance is God's activating grace. It remakes and restores and repairs. It is the essential step to redemption. It starts in darkness, it ends in light. It starts in bondage, it ends in freedom. It starts in death, it ends in life. It makes the unclean clean and the unholy holy. It makes the difference between heaven and hell. God only forgives those who repent. Even though I wrote that, I like that. The Lord must have inspired me to write that because that's good. True repentance, the fruit of godly sorrow, leads to a salvation and leaves no regret. God's heavenly kingdom is filled with repentant sons and daughters of Adam, those who have sorrowed for their sins and found pardon. They will never sorrow again. John Milton was right when he described repentance as the golden key that opens the palace of eternity. Yet the gates of God's kingdom are shut to those who refuse to repent. They can never enter in. They must do without salvation, and they will have much to regret. They cast off godly sorrow in this life, and they will have the sorrow of this world in the life to come. How tragic. We cannot afford to pass over repentance. Are we hearing enough repentance preaching in our churches, in our ministries? I'm not asking for you to name names, but are we hearing enough of it? And do we understand what it actually means? Look, if it's only a change of mind, and that change of mind does not result in a change of heart, life, and action, then what's the use of it? I recognize my rejection of Jesus is wrong, and I'm going to continue to reject him. I recognize that my adultery is wrong, but I'm going to continue to commit adultery. I recognize that my stealing is wrong, but I'm going to continue to steal. That's not repentance. Repentance is, God, I recognize what I'm doing is wrong in your sight, and by your grace, I turn from it. You say, but we don't have the power to turn from it. Let me say that again. I recognize what I'm doing is wrong in your sight, and by your grace, I turn from it. That's the power of the gospel. It's the power of the blood of Jesus. Back with your calls, questions, comments. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire broadcast. Repentance. What does it mean? A lot of people confuse the subject and think it means that you have to become good enough in order to be saved, or that you live this guilt-driven life, that, oh, something's wrong with me. God's mad at me. I have this burden. I can never be good enough. I can never step high enough. Oh, no. What can I do? That's not the message. Look, if I'm heading in the wrong direction, I want to know. If I'm at the airport and I'm racing between two flights, and I'm going the wrong way because I have the wrong gate information, I would much rather that someone early on said, "Hey, Mike, the flight's over here," rather than I run all the way over to the other side of the airport, as I've done, many of you have done and have traveled enough, only to find out that the gate switched or that I had the wrong info. And by the time you run all the way back to the other side of the airport, it's too late. I'd rather someone told me early on. That's good news. That's love. Repentance is a recognition. We've done wrong. We've sinned. For believers or for unbelievers. And it's an offer of God's mercy to turn our hearts back to Him. Let me say this again, that repent, for the unsaved person, the message is simple. God, save me from my sins. It's not a matter of, okay, I'll get cleaned up. I'll stop gambling. I'll stop drinking. I'll stop smoking cigarettes. I'll stop beating my wife. I'll stop picking on people. I'll stop using profanity. And then when I'm clean for a year, you'll accept me. No, that would be salvation by works. And trust me, it's like trying to dig yourself out of a million-foot hole using a toothpick. It ain't going to happen. Repentance would be a recognition of our sin, recognition of our self-will, recognition of whatever the fundamental things are in our life that are out of order in God's sight, and asking Him to save us and to cleanse us and to wash us. It may come with a recognition of many other sins, or it may come with a simple recognition of we've left God out of our lives, or we're self-righteous. But whatever it is, it's going to mean a turnaround, an about-face. How? By the grace and power of God. 866-34-TRUTH. Brenda in High Point, North Carolina, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Kudos, Dr. Brown. I enjoy what you're doing, and I liked what you said about that a person has to realize they're lost before they can be saved. But as far as repentance goes, I have prayed and prayed, and right now I love my mother so much, and I need her so much. I'm disabled, but she hasn't spoken to me in over 30 days, and I just keep asking that God would convict them that it's more than John 3:16. Decades, Billy Graham said that he said he would guesstimate that 80% of the church was not going to heaven, and it was because that people, they take that one scripture, and I think that Satan can even work through the Bible, that they take that one scripture, John 3:16. And that's all they think. You know, they think, okay, I'm in. But if you are truly repentant of your sins, you're going to want to follow Jesus. And the Bible is full of things like, you know, actions speak louder than words. And
let me just jump in, Brendan. And of course, I'm sorry to hear about the breach in relationship with your own family, but your point is, if we're walking in fellowship with the Lord, then we can't allow bitterness to stay there, or we can't allow unforgiveness to stay there, or we can't allow sinful conduct to stay there. And the fact that we become comfortable with it just means that we've hardened our hearts to the Lord. And, you know, even in John 3:16, Brenda, if we keep reading, of course, your point is very, very well taken. If we keep reading, it says this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, And people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. So when we really do believe, Brenda, we come completely into the light. You know, just like a kid who didn't eat the cookie says, "Mommy, search me. Check everywhere. I didn't eat the cookie. Look at my teeth." You know, whereas the one who did, he's hiding it and feeling guilty. So with repentance, it's like, I ate the cookie. I did it. But forgive me, Mommy. And I want to do better. And that's when God intervenes. And you know, it's such a life-giving thing when we're not hiding stuff anymore. When we come clean, when we confess, it may be difficult, but it's so, so life-giving. So, Brenda, thanks for the call, and may God's grace be poured out within your family. May there be real restoration and wholeness. 866-34-TRUTH. Johnny in Los Angeles, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you?
Doing very well, thanks.
Bless you, appreciate you. I just wanted to share a quick testimony of my own. I was 17. I'm actually about to turn 21 right now, and just living in Southern California, it's always been a difficult thing sometimes, but I was I got in a gang at an early age, at about the age of 14, going on 14, and I was involved with this gang members, drugs, alcohol, drinking, and that kind of lifestyle that I know that you maybe also came out of, and just being around immorality, rather, and but there came a day when God really dealt with me, and I just, after a powerful sermon, I just went up to the altar, and I just gave my heart out to God, and I thoroughly repented of my sins, and ever since then, I felt the presence of God come inside and change me, and he's given me the power and grace and strength to walk with him, and I just want to encourage somebody who's listening, who's maybe going through something, or maybe hasn't got their heart with God, to that I just want to let them know that there is a power in repentance, but it has to be repentance from the heart. It can't just be a, "Oh God, you know, I am sorry, but you're still going to do the same thing." It has to be a powerful repentance that comes from the heart and that wants to serve God, because that's what God sees and that's what he really honors.
Yeah, and Johnny, I mean, that's awesome to hear, and it comes from the heart by the power of God. That's the amazing thing that happens, that it, you know, maybe 100 times you felt miserable, but this time, because it was with the gospel, you changed. And think if some preacher was just up there giving you some nice fluff message and just telling you that everything's okay. Now, that would have helped you. So you are a living testimony to the power of the blood of Jesus through repentance. Man, thank you for calling in, and you bet I can relate to it. Thank you, sir.
Bless you.
And look, friends, as Johnny said, that's for some of you. He shared his story, but he didn't share it just for you. He shared it for others. Now, look, no matter how far you've fallen, someone once said this, when the soul has laid down its fault at the feet of God, it feels as though it had wings. Come on, come clean. I'm just going to do a little ministry here before I get back to your calls. I'm talking to someone here. Look, common sense would just tell me the odds with the number of listeners that I'm speaking to someone this is relevant for, but I feel in my heart to say it. You're living in a way that's an embarrassment to you, and you desperately don't want anyone else to find out. I want to encourage you to come clean to the person closest to you. If let's say you're a man and you've been enslaved to pornography, or you've been in an affair or heading in a wrong direction, sit down with your wife. Go to God and then sit down with your wife and come clean. And if you need some help, immediately have a pastor or a spiritual leader you respect on hand to help you out as soon as you and your wife can sit down together with that person. Look, it says this in Proverbs 28. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. That whole verse is just seven words in Hebrew. Boy, does it say a lot. Come clean. First before God. You say, "Well, this is between me and God. It doesn't involve anyone else." Well, come clean between you and God. Confess openly. Make no excuses. And say, "God, have mercy on me. Wash me. Cleanse me. Give me a brand new start." And do what you know how to do to make the change. And God will meet you. And if he's working in your life and you want us to pray for you, shoot us a note at askdrbrown.org. David in Port Huron, Michigan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Michael, it's a blessing to listen to you, and I'm doing a study group of your book, Go and Sin No More.
Well, thank you, sir.
It's a great book, and you're a blessing to the body of Christ.
Well, it's an honor and joy. Thank you.
I wanted to ask you a question about repentance. Is there such a thing as a season of repentance at one extreme and at the other, a simple agreement that you need to turn around?
Surely. And in fact, I'm looking at the clock. You hear the music. I will answer that question right on the other side of the break. Great question.
Okay.
Thanks for asking.
I'll catch you on the radio.
All right. You got it.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I just went to AskDrBrown.org and typed in the word repent and then repentance. We've got a bunch of articles there and links to talks I've given, messages, articles by myself and others. So take advantage of the resources that we have free online at AskDrBrown.org. So I was asked the question by the previous caller, can there be seasons of repentance and then other seasons of just coming into agreement with God about our lifestyle and conduct? Absolutely. There are times where the Lord is really working on us and purifying us and drawing us close to Him and calling us to repentance and calling us to go deeper in Him. And during those seasons, it can be deep, it can be ongoing, it can be over a period of weeks and months. It happened to me through much of 1982, a real purging, convicting, transforming time in my life, which was wonderful and priceless and glorious. In fact, I envy some of those days, not because of the comfort of them, but it was very uncomfortable to see pride and other things and coldness where I thought I was doing great that from God's perspective I wasn't. I don't relish the thought of how uncomfortable I was to see these things, but I relish the fact that God was drawing me near and God wasn't just letting me go my own way, even as a believer, even as someone serving in the body as a leader in certain ways. He convicted me and showed me where I was straying and in other ways. And it was a season of repentance. I went through another season of repentance, late in 2001, just some flesh and junk that God was dealing with. And, it's painful, but it's wonderful. It's the only way to describe it. So there can be seasons of repentance that we go through. And at other times, just as we're walking with the Lord and we realize this is wrong, this is out of order, this is going in a wrong direction, then we immediately recognize it, Father, I recognize this is wrong in your sight, and we set ourselves in the right path with his help and grace, and everything changes and is different. Absolutely, for sure. All right, let me try to grab a couple more calls. Ken in Atlanta, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Just a quick question. In church history, where did we get away from Jesus and Mark saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, now repent and believe the gospel, to where we are now, where you ask Jesus into your heart or you make a decision for Christ? Where did we get away from the biblical idea of salvation from Jesus?
Yeah, of course, through the ages, the church gets off track in one way or another. That, that's happened many, many times. We understand that. And there are, people, for example, criticize, Finney for altar calls and that kind of thing. But he had a very, very radical repentance message. What happened a lot really had to do with especially tendencies that started in the late 1800s, but then into the 20th century, where we just started to accommodate the gospel to our culture. We started to drop the standard. We started to we reduced it more and more to a formula. Perhaps it was symptomatic of our instant mentality. But Ken, since I've been saved, and I'm not an expert in church history, I've studied enough things that I can comment with intelligence on quite a few of them, but I'm not an expert on church history. The fact is, as long as I've been saved and I started to have my eyes open, I started to recognize that these were issues, that there was something lacking. And for me, yeah, I prayed, quote, the sinner's prayer, but the sinner's prayer that I prayed was a prayer asking God to forgive me, asking God to have mercy on me, and saying that I would turn from sin. So even though it was saying certain words, those words spoke words of truth. So I think a lot of it is just our instant gospel mentality. I've written about it extensively through the years. Many would trace it back into some tendencies that began even in the 1800s. All right, Angela in Phoenix, you are our last caller of the day. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Well, hi, Dr. Brown. One, I'd like to thank the caller who asked the question about seasons of repentance, because I seem to be, I'm getting purged right now, but I just wanted to make a comment. I have, as many people do, an abuse background, and I think one of the reasons why people kind of shy away from repentance is that they really don't understand the character of God. And one of the things that I've really gotten tripped up in myself is that I get stuck, you know, after I'm apologizing to God for what I've done, I get stuck in a shame cycle. And so people, yeah, if they don't really study who God is and what he said, who Jesus is, they really have a hard time getting out of it. So they kind of just avoid it and stuff it. I think that's what some people are doing.
Oh yeah. Angela, there's no question that having a wrong view of the Father and thinking the shame cycle, and you know, it's like the dog with his tail between his legs, and that's how some of us just live. But you know, you think of that dog that doesn't have the moral understanding that a human being has, right? They just, you know, bad dog, and they're cowering there, and you say, okay, come on, and they just come running back. They're like stupid enough to forget the bad dog 30 seconds earlier. But that's how we need to be, because God's never saying to us as his people, bad Angela, bad Mike. He's saying, what you're doing is very wrong, what you're doing is displeasing, and I have something better and higher for you. And when we say, Lord, I'm sorry, he embraces us. I mean, what I encourage everyone to do is to meditate on Luke, the 15th chapter, in particular, the third part of that parable. There's the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, the prodigal son. And when that son is shamed, and Lord, Father, have me as your servant, I'm not worthy to be called your son. And when the father sees him from a distance, he runs out to meet him. And as many speculate, every day he was looking for him, waiting for him to come back.
Okay.
Meditate on that until it becomes real. Hey, Angela, I got to run. I'm out of time, but I'm so glad you raised this issue about the shame cycle, because Jesus did take our shame and he did take our sin. He did. He took our shame. He took our sin. And as we turn to him and say, Lord, wash me, cleanse me, he gives us a brand new start. It's as if we never sinned. Oh, there may be consequences of actions, but fellowship is restored. And if you need to cry for a while, you don't cry alone in the corner. You cry in his loving arms. Wherever you are, hear the word of the Lord. Turn back, oh, back-turning children. He says, I will forgive your backslidings. I will heal your backslidings. All right. Hey, if we could get into all of your hands listening today, a very, very helpful, edifying, enjoyable resource. Today's the day to get it. Two of our TV shows, two of the best episodes we ever recorded for Think It Through. I think you'll be truly blessed and encouraged by them. An Incomplete Religion and A Rest Beyond the Sabbath. Two DVDs just for $10 of the documentary TV show we did, shot live in New York City. Trust me, you'll enjoy it. You'll want to share it with your friends. Call us. We reduce the price. We'll pay the postage. 1-800-278-9978 to order. 1-800-278-9978 or online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. My bottom line, however far from God you find yourself today, however deep the shame, the blood of Jesus can wash you clean. Turn to him in repentance and faith. Time for a brand new start.